It is Tuesday, March 21. You are listening to the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you if you are just tuning in. A lot of tributes coming through as the game lost a legend in John Sattler, the man who famously played with a broken jaw in South's 1970 grand final victory against Manly. 195 games for the club from 1963 to 1972. In fact, in that period, he captained the club to four premierships, 67, 68, that famous grand final in 70 and 71 as well. It was only just a couple of years ago his son, Scott Sattler, revealed that he'd been battling dementia, his father, John, and passing away at the age of 80. And it's been, well, some legacy that we've discussed this morning, Loz.
Oh, it certainly has been. Good morning to everybody. Yeah, he was an absolute giant of the game, Johnny Sattler. I remember growing up as a kid, you heard all the stories about Sattler, and in particular the 1970 grand final where he played with a broken jaw. And, you know, he was the skipper of that team. You know, he's just such a tough player, someone that no one spoke ill of. I remember when I first met Johnny, he was someone completely different to what I'd learnt about, because he was such a gentleman away from the field, on the field. He was just a different style of player that I thought he would have been off the field. That I would have thought he was off the field. You speak of his heroics and you speak of his toughness and never taking a backward step and just driving his teammates to be better and, you know, just taking on the biggest, toughest bloke in the opposition forward pack, and then you get to meet him and he's just a lovely gentleman. And it was quite sad when I heard the news yesterday. I felt for his son, Scott, obviously, and the family, but all those, you know, people that love the game, and in particular South Sydney supporters who would have idolised him. And not only was he great on the field, but, you know, the way that he and George Piggins were able to unite the supporter base and get them to march, against the NRL and News Limited about, you know, reinstating South Sydney back into the competition. They were able to unite a lot of people, and without those guys, South Sydney may not have been in the competition today. So there's a lot to be thankful for that we've had John Sattler here on this planet, not only as a rugby league player, but as a wonderful person.
Morning, Gutho.
Good morning, how are we?
You're really well, thanks. I know you love your golf. Have you played here before, New South Wales?
I have before. It wasn't a good day. I think I lost multiple balls. It was a little bit windy, so I was coming straight off the sea, and it wasn't a fun day.
Yeah. Now, Gutho, Mido's the only guy here that's playing. Clarkie and I, we don't rate ourselves as golfers. I just want you to rate Mido just from what you see of him. Do you think he's a good golfer? Do you think he's a poor golfer? How do you think he'd act on a golf course?
I think he'd be all right. I reckon you'd be good, Mido.
Ah, oh, mate, you're a good man. I'll tell you what.
He's got all the gear.
You'd be better than me.
I'll be better after a couple of drinks, I'll tell you that.
a couple of looseness.
And, mate, you were fantastic the other night against Manly. Unfortunately, it's another four-point defeat. So that's three of them. Incredible. Again, it shows, though, you're really not that far away, but reality is you're 0-3. So how's morale, Gutho? To what extent has it been tested?
Yeah, morale's it's still really high. Obviously, it's been disappointing. We haven't been able to get off the nudie yet, but look, they've been really close games, and we've really fought hard to stay in it to the 80th minute and fought the whole way. But we're just killing ourselves at the moment and shooting ourselves in the foot by letting teams off the hook when we do get in front. And again, on the weekend, we fought back to get in front, and we just gave too many penalties on late in the tackle count, and against a quality team that have Turbo and Cherry and those types of players, they're going to make you pay, and that's what they did. And we're still fighting. It doesn't get any easier this week, but look, that's the way we're playing, and we just need to fix up a few things and we'll be right.
Yeah, Gutho, I guess the positive is, like you say, you're only just getting beaten, but how do you turn that around this weekend?
Yeah, as I said, it doesn't get any easier. Penrith off a bye, so we've got to make sure we turn up. And it's a few moments in the game which we're getting wrong, and it's been different individuals each week. And that's the positive in the review. We know what we've got to fix, but we just keep doing it, and We're not going into a game and going, oh, look, this is where they beat us. It's where we beat ourselves. And that's what we need to fix this week. And if we do, we're going to be with a good chance.
Okay. Can I ask, Gutho, how do you fix it? Because you've identified the problem and you've identified it for 3 weeks in a row, but nothing's changed. So how do you actually do it?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's on the individuals that are making the mistakes and that are costing us. And that's where the ownership and accountability has to stand up. And that's where you got to be better and keep working hard. And things will change. When you work hard, things change. Luck starts going your way. The bounce of the ball goes your way. And the last probably few games, the bounce of the ball hasn't gone our way. But that's rugby league. And we just got to stay in it and keep believing in what we're doing.
How frustrated do you get as a leader, because you're playing extremely well at the moment, and others around you that have similar experience are constantly making those same errors each week?
It is frustrating, but look, as I said, it's rugby league. Things are going to go wrong, and it's about being able to defend the error. And at the moment, we're sort of giving them an easy penalty, then another penalty, then another penalty, then a try. And when you give good teams back-to-back-to-back sets, they're going to make you pay, and that's what's been costing us. But we're staying in the fight, and we showed again on the weekend, even with that late intercept try from Homoli. We still went down, they got the short kickoff and tried to score and gave ourselves a chance. And that's what we've got to keep doing, and the luck will turn.
Gutho, Ryan Madison back this week. We've spoken a bit about, obviously, what happened after the grand final, him making that decision. Can you tell us what happened in-house and the conversation with Ryan, Parramatta, NRL, how that went down, and then how he wanted to change his decision, but obviously couldn't do that? What's that felt like from a player's perspective, and how's the comms been with him?
It's obviously after a grand final loss, you sort of, you're pretty devastated. You just want to get away from it. And I think at the time he was pretty angry and believed that he hadn't done it. And obviously a short time after, wanted to change that decision. And the club and all the players supported him in trying to change that decision. But the NRL didn't see that he could. And it's a bit disappointing, because after a grand final loss, that's the last thing you want to sort of be thinking about. And with a bit more time, he probably would have went the other way. But look, now we've got him back now, and he's a big in for us. So he's going to give us a lot of confidence going into this week.
Well, you lost that grand final to Penrith last year, and I know this is a different season. Do you take anything out of that game that you learnt that you can use this weekend?
You take a lot. You take a lot of disappointment from that last game. We had four big battles last year against them, and I thought all four games were outstanding games of footy, and it was 2-2 last year, and they got us in the big one. But look, it's always a good battle. There's going to be a big crowd, and we just got to go out there, play our game, and try not to make those errors and the big moments in the game, try and get them right, because that's what Penrith do so well week in, week out. They just stay in the game and try and force that other team into making that mistake first.
But let's face it, when you look at them, well, I mean, to what extent have they lost, I guess, what they had in not having Coruscant and Kikau, and to what extent do you feel like you can exploit this new Penrith, so to speak?
Oh, it's obviously still a great team. They beat South and only just lost to the Broncos. So obviously still quality players there. And when you've got Cleary, Luai and the likes of Yo in the middle, they're always going to be a great team. And we have to go out there, as I said, play our style of footy and get to where we want to do on the field. And I think we've got enough points in this. It's about going out and defending well.
Yeah, you talk about Nathan Cleary's kicking game. He's very, very good. How do you limit the impact, knowing that he's going to put those big floating bombs up to you? Is that on the team with kick pressure, or is it on more so dominating the tackle before he's about to kick it? Like, how do you go about planning to stop his raids that you're going to receive?
Yeah, it's pretty hard, to be honest, Loz, because he is so good at it. He puts himself in positions where the kick pressure struggle to get to him, and he can still get them away. But you know they're coming. You know that they're going to be coming. It could be one. You could get 10 in a game. But it's just about going after the ball. I've learned over the years, you may as well just go after it. And if you drop it, you drop it. But when you're tentative with it, you're never a chance. So just go get it. And just if you do drop it, put it on the kick pressure for not getting there and blaming them, really.
Give it to him, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Gutho, go well, mate. Huge game, and hopefully we're talking about you getting your first win of the season next week.
Thanks, guys. Good luck having the course, Miller.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Clint Gutherson there. I'll tell you what. He was...
Oh, yeah.
What about the try saver as well? I mean, he scored two tries, but he also stopped a certain try there for Manly. I mean, he has been superb.
Oh, he's been their best this season, Gutho. And that's why I asked him about could he be getting frustrated, because he's the leader, but there's other leaders in that team that are constantly making the same errors week in, week out. And I was interested to hear his comments about, you know, you've got to hold each other accountable. And those senior players shouldn't be making those, you know, errors that they've been making. And that's what I want to see change this week for Parramatta, is, you know, the guys like Mitch Moses, Dylan Browns, not making the same errors as that they've been doing over the last couple of weeks. You know, not getting caught with a football in their hand on last play, making sure they're getting to their kick, making sure they limit their errors when they've got the ball, making sure they're driving the standards with this Parramatta team, making sure that they lead kick chases, making sure that they've got good communication with their teammates so they actually know what they're doing, what type of plays they're putting on, because at the moment they just don't all seem in sync.
And it'd be intriguing to see, Loz, how Brad Arthur uses Madison. Because Hopgood, you're not moving Hopgood at the moment, are you, from lock? So does he come off the bench? Does he play on an edge?
Well, last year he played in the middle, didn't he?
Mm.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they maybe move him to an edge to start with and bring him back that way. Or they might be looking for impact off the interchange bench. But it'll be interesting to see how they use him, because they've got a shortage of back rowers at the moment. Experienced back rowers, I should say. You know, they've lost Papali'i from last year, Sean Lane as well. And they were two strike weapons for Parramatta. Ryan Madison played 13, but he could fill in as an edge. But given they've lost those two players, I'm just wondering whether Brad might think, you know, it's time to just put Ryan on an edge, leave him there, and it gives us a bit more experience.
Get the game you want, when you want, this NRL season on KO. 120 NRL games exclusive to Fox League, available on KO. New to KO, start your free trial. I've never known a bloke to get down on himself quite like L. Daly.
What's he done now?
Well, he's just, in it just the most random times.
What's he done?
So he's just gone, mate, I've got a Devon patch. It's going.
Oh,
he's got the best head of hair you've seen.
Mate.
Look, I've got
patch. He's just about as good as Dez has.
Because you've got the headphones on.
I went to the bathroom and I was washing my hands and I turned the tap on, I put down, and then I sort of looked up just to peek myself, you know, give yourself a little bit of a look. And then I went,
not happy.
Is that a little bald patch there? And right on the middle of my head, I can see the skull.
Mate, your hair's hot. There's a lot of
it
good
is quite
coverage
thin.
There.
Yeah.
Done some of mine. You know what mine? Mine's great.
Anyway.
I've got lots of it, but it's grey.
In my vein.
A little bit. That's all right. You're allowed to be.
It's fine, mate. When are you the, you know...
Mate, you're getting older.
The poster boy after ET.
Fight it as much as you want, but you're getting older.
Jeez.
Anyway. Did you get jealous of ET?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bradley Clyde, all of them. All the good-looking roosters. What? There's nothing wrong with being jealous.
I won't say what I was thinking then, but
mate.
Anyway.
Why'd you run off him? Why'd you get jealous? You just ran off him. Sit in their right pocket. And...
That's it. That's
always a friend.
Just
always a friend.
Your short ball, yeah. Go.
Get through there.
Loving the tributes for the great Johnny Sattler on the text line. Morning all. There'll never be another Johnny Sattler. It was Sats and Arthur Beetson that made me fall in love with the game I love to this day. A giant amongst giants. Rest in peace, champion John from Wingham. Good on you, John. Hi, guys. I agree with your comments about John Sattler. I was fortunate to meet him through my best mate, who is a Souths tragic. I'm a Saints supporter, and we used to go to the Charity Shield match every year. I marched with my mate Wally to reinstate Souths, and Wally became my brother-in-law as we married their sisters. However, we lost him at age 50. He loves Sats, and that's from Mad Mick. P.S. What a great BSB luncheon. Great mix of sports, and I'll be back. Good on you, Mad Mick. Appreciate it. And we've got James on the line. G'day, James. How are you?
Yeah, good, fellas. Really enjoying the football. I think it's been extremely entertaining. So that's a big wrap for everyone involved. Players, administration, or what.
Well, I'm seeing it's the closest start to a season after three rounds since 1975. So 18 of the 24 games have been decided by 1 to 12. The average margin's 8.8 points. So that's how good the season's been so far.
Yeah, the footy's been excellent. Now, I just wanted to mention, with this, you know, non-agreement happening between the NRL and the Players Association, it's created a few issues with the fact that no one knows about the international calendar as well. Of course, I'd love to see maybe, you know, a couple of games, you know, a week or two after the NRL Grand Final, because it'll capitalise on what a great Rugby League World Cup it was last season. And, you know, that's a big plus because, you know, it actually generates a lot more income for the NRL because there's something there where it's going to have a game still on the public eye post the Grand Final. And players really do want to represent their countries. So, you know, I think that's been missing with all this agreement stuff that's been, you know, holding back the women's NRL as well. So, yeah, and I'd love to see, just on another note, I'd love to see a bit of free air, some free-to-air coverage of the game, of a game on a Saturday as well. I know Fox has got, you know, the mortgage on the Saturday night and they're getting extremely good ratings. But basically, I think the NRL are probably missing the point that they're giving other codes a free kick when this fantastic code and competition deserves free-to-air game on a Saturday evening or afternoon from now, not just the last 5 days of the comp.
James, that's just the way the TV deal obviously is at the moment, but we're getting it Thursday, Friday, Sunday on free-to-air, as we know, Fox on a Saturday. Look, that's just the way the TV deal is done, and as we know with TV deals, they're done to maximise the revenue that the NRL gets. No surprise to see Aussies dominating over in the Indian Women's Premier League, and last night, as the Warriors beat Gujarat, for Gujarat, Ash Gardner was out for 60. They were beaten, though. So Grace Harris was player of the match for her 72 off 41 deliveries. Talia McGrath, 57 off 38 as well. Yesterday, New Zealand destroyed Sri Lanka in the second test as well by an innings and 58 runs in Wellington. New Zealand made 4 for 580 declared. Double centuries for Kane Williamson and Henry Nichols. And then they've rolled Sri Lanka for 164, sent them back in, and 358 Sri Lanka made in their second innings there. So a comfortable victory for the Black Caps. And that series is done and dusted. And 2-0 to New Zealand in the end. Also yesterday in racing, Tal Bragar for Cody Morgan and Aaron Bullock won the Northern Country Championships wildcard at Scone. Paid $3.70, tab fixed odds, and was 15 into $6. So third favourite to win the New Haven Park Country Championships final, April 1, day one of the championships. So the 16 horses are finalised. And provided they're all sound, the field is there and set for that final. Gee, we're getting close, aren't we? Saturday week until day one of the championships. We've got to the Tancred there on Saturday, the Vinery as well at Rosehill Gardens as we close out the Golden Slipper Carnival before we head to Royal Randwick. But give us a call, 13 53 53, send us a text, 0419 767 272. We're at the beautiful New South Wales Golf Club this morning here at La Perouse for the English Golf Day. Loz has opened the curtains and got himself a spot so he can just peer out over the ocean there, over the Tasman Sea, Loz.
It is pretty special, isn't it?
What a
nice part of the world, Loz.
Yeah, well, I tell
see you yourself living here, couldn't you?
Well, Pop, I don't venture out this way that often. But when you sit here on the, well, we're not in the balcony. We're in the wine room or boardroom. What
it's
would
like
you call
a flash
this?
Cellar. It's like a flash. I reckon it's a,
what do you reckon? Wine room or boardroom?
Feels like important decisions are made in here.
Yeah, I think so.
Over a very expensive spot.
It's an expensive private room, it feels
but,
like.
But the view over there to the water and then the course itself, it's just in magnificent condition.
water.
I'll tell you what I did see.
What's the water bill, you reckon, here? Just looking at the irrigation going on out there. What's the water bill look like on a golf course, Middo, you reckon?
I don't know. Can't they use the desalination plant they built out there for $30 billion or whatever?
That's a very good point.
I'll tell you who I did see, boys.
A couple of bores.
I'll tell you who I did see.
What?
Oh, have a guess who's in that room out there.
James Packer.
No.
Okay.
Think golfer.
Tiger Woods.
No.
The Shark.
No, but similar ilk. Similar ilk as Tiger and
similar ilk?
Similar ilk.
One of the fittest 87-year-olds you'll ever see, that's for sure.
Did you see him out there?
I did.
The great Gary Player.
Is he really?
Yes. And very fit. So how old is he, Middo?
87.
87.
Three US Masters, three Open Championships, two PGA Championships, and won the US Open in 1965 as well. Legend. Apparently loves his racing.
Right.
So I think he's heavily involved back in South Africa, his homeland. Very involved in the
breeding
side of things.
So that's the tie-in with English today?
I don't have the whisper I've been told is that potentially he just wanted to play here.
Just wanted to hit.
Ring up the club and wanted to play here, as you do. If you're Gary Player, you'd want to get on any course in the world, wouldn't you?
Well, surely you can. Yeah. No, surely no course is saying no to Gary Player.
Well, of course they're not. So, and I think it's just happened to coincide with the English Golf Day here today. So Gary's on board and getting involved in the English Golf Day.
But
when you look out over there and you saw, geez, Gary Player, that was...
Yeah. Well,
that's a big name.
Well, I saw people getting photos with him.
That's a very big
name. And I just Google Gary Player and a lot of the wins that he had throughout his career came up. And you talk about like a legend. Like he played in that era where, what was it, Palmer and Nicklaus. And I think he won, I'm reading it here, if Wikipedia is right. We're led to believe Wikipedia is right, isn't it?
60-40. No. Well, 60-40 on a good day.
Yeah, right. Well, the Open Championship...
If you get his name right, it's a good start.
He won three times, but he won it in three different decades.
Hmm.
So 50s, 60s and the 70s.
Correct. 59, 68, 74.
Did you have a photo?
No, I'm going to ask.
I'll take
it
for
though.
You. Yeah.
No, well, I want you in it.
Okay, and then I'll take one just you and him for you.
That'd be great, Michael.
Love to.
Have you met Gary?
No,
South Africa.
Yep, South Africa. Yep.
No, he'd be a cricket supporter.
I'm not sure.
I suppose
he'd be a rugby boy. I reckon. Love his rugby.
So is it over there? Rugby first, then cricket.
Probably rugby first.
Rugby first. Yeah.
Yeah. Good at all sports, South Africans. I reckon.
Pretty
talented.
Yeah, they are. They
good
are.
Athletes, I reckon.
They are. Sure.
AB de Villiers, Faf du Plessis, good athletes.
They're a big football nation as well, but probably at a national level haven't produced. Yeah. Hosted the World Cup, of course, in 2010. Probably considering their population have underachieved in football, but certainly cricket and rugby. Golf. They've had some very, very good golfers.
I could live there, I reckon. Cape Town.
I've never been to South Africa.
One of the places, if I wasn't going to live in Australia, I could live in Cape Town for sure.
Right. Now,
beautiful.
Now, I don't want this to sound rude, but is Cape Town one of the safest places in South Africa? Because you always hear the
Well, Johannesburg is generally where you hear the town of Johannesburg is quite dangerous. But there's places outside of Johannesburg that are magnificent.
Yeah.
But Cape Town is beautiful.
So did you, when you went... Over there on a tour.
Always felt safe.
Right. But did you go and experience stuff in other towns?
Yeah. You went, pretty much wherever you play, I'm trying to think. I think the only place we got told not to go was in the centre of Johannesburg on your own. But really, where you stay and where the ground is and the airport, you're outside that anyway. But no, I never felt unsafe. The only thing there are... coming back from, say, you went out for a drink or you went to the casino, whatever it was, coming back at night, you'd have to be careful of, there's a lot of kidnapping, hold up, like at a set of lights, you can have your car hijacked.
Yeah, because you hear stories like that.
So they sort of tell you, make sure you're out with a group.
Yeah.
And if you're going out, you're coming home together. But I never really experienced Too much drama there.
Yeah.
Team list Tuesday today, fellas. Intrigued what the Tigers are going to do. They play the Storm at AB Park Friday night. The Telegraph suggesting today that Brandon Wakeham will be in the halves with Luke Brooks, and Adam Dewey will go to fullback, as Tim Sheens did on the weekend against the Bulldogs, and that David Nofaluma is set to be axed, and Charlie Staines moved to the wing. There's also been reports, Loz, in the last few days that the Tigers are chasing Sharks fullback Will Kennedy, although where the Sharks desperately want to retain him, of course, as well, which tells you they're uncertain even about Dane Laurie and their fullback position. But there seems to be a lot of uncertainty through, well, certainly 1, 6 and 7 at the moment. Obviously, Coruscant's there well entrenched in the 9 jersey, but they haven't got their spine sorted, have they?
No, they haven't. And I think that they were hoping that Dewey and Brooks were going to be the 5-8 and the half back going forward, but that combination just hasn't worked. Yet it gelled when Wakeham went into the halves on the weekend. So I think he's been forced into making that change, Tim Sheens. And I think they've got to do something different. I said on Monday, I just don't know whether you could stick with that halves pairing. I don't know whether Dewey's a fullback, but he gets an opportunity to play there. But their attack gelled when Wakeham came onto the field. So I think they have to go down that path. And depending on who Melbourne name this weekend, if there's no Cameron Munster for Melbourne this weekend...
I'm going to tip
the Tigers.
Oh,
it should have been your rash decision.
Hang on. You're going to tip the Tigers to beat the Storm?
Yeah.
As long as Munster's not playing.
Oh, I think they'll name Munster the Storm, but you won't know until later in the week.
Mate, they're going ordinary, Melbourne. They're going worse than the Tigers.
They're not going worse than the Tigers.
They are. I'll tell you why. If Melbourne had the back catalogue of the Tigers over the last decade... they would be getting sprayed at the moment. But because they've got so much money in the bank, so to speak,
yeah,
because of their record, I think we're just sort of expecting Melbourne
to come good.
But from what I've seen, they're not going great at all, Melbourne.
Did you see Craig Bellamy's comments in the press conference after the game the other day? You said the care factor seems low.
He was quite heavy the week before as well about attitude.
Yeah.
And then this week it was about the care factor. So he hasn't missed them. Did you watch him during the game? Every time the camera went, he was steaming. Steaming.
Imagine going into that dressing room after your coach has just gone out and said that. And it's Craig Bellamy. I mean, one of the most revered figures in the game.
Well, yeah, they've always based their game on effort, and they've always been one of the...
One from three.
Yeah, but they've always been one of the better defensive sides. And even when they get beaten, they don't get beaten by much. They've conceded, I'm just having a look here at the moment, 76 points, which puts them as the Eels have conceded more. The Sharks have conceded 1 point more. So they're ranked 15th when it comes to defence.
Yeah.
Melbourne. That is so unlike Melbourne.
So is that attitude, you reckon, exactly what Craig's saying?
Yeah, and personnel. You look at their team, and you know, without Munster and Big Nelson and the guys that moved to the Dolphins last year, they're missing a lot of experienced players. You know, and then you've got Pappenhausen not there. Mm. So they're not the same team they were. And I think they're going poor. I think they're going as poor as I've seen Melbourne ever go.
Well, we have one text here. Whatever Loz is on, I want some. No way the Tigers will beat the Storm. No name to that one. By the way, just on that, considering this room we're in, Willow from Windsor asks, Clarky sampled the tequila yet? It's about $325 a bottle from what
I
can
see. Is it tequila?
Yeah, it's tequila.
Okay. What's it, Bozal? Bozal.
Bozal, yeah. It's top shelf tequila.
Okay. Yeah, it looks good. Mm. It's a flush-looking bottle. I know the one on the left's good. I've had that. I've had Session as well. Jennifer Hawkins' tequila. I've had that. Yeah, it's good. I don't mind tequila. Little upper. Start your day, Middo.
Don't know how it makes me feel the next day.
Well, you don't have to have it in... You don't just have to shot it. That's probably how you see tequila. It's straight down.
Yes, I do.
Mate, what about a...
I didn't know there was another
what
way
What about a Tommy's Margarita?
Oh, yeah.
There's tequila in there.
Yeah. Of course there is. Brad Davidson, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we going?
Yeah, really well, thanks. Unreal Golden Slipper Day, wasn't it? And it sets up Well, particularly day two of the championships, and will Enemo Dubai Honor. This is a clash we'll all want to be, all want to see, and throw in maybe a Japanese horse or two into the mix as well.
Yeah, it's going to be some race, guys. There's no doubt about it. We get the chance to build it up now for 3 weeks as well. I mean, I know we've got a lot of great racing in between then, but yeah, it's going to be a clash for the ages, and one I'm really looking forward to seeing. We saw the market for that Queen Elizabeth swing a little bit yesterday. They sort of went up 250 Yanomo after Saturday, and sort of around that $283.20 mark to buy Honor, but they're basically equal favourites now after all the, I suppose, the data and the analysis of the runs on the weekend. So both terrific wins. You know, Animo did it tough out wide. Look, it was a slow pace, so I think being wide wasn't the worst thing. But, you know, he got a little bump on the turn and had to knuckle down and get the job done. And he found a way, like he has been doing this preparation. And Dubai Honor, well, his performance was simply world-class, guys. His time was out of this world. And, you know, I think if Animo was in the Rambit on Saturday, he would not have been winning, that's for sure. So it's just a case now of if Animo can rise to Dubai Honor's level, and if Dubai Honor can reproduce that performance. If he reproduces, I think Animo's in a bit of trouble. But, gee, it's going to be hard to reproduce that sort of performance all the same. So exciting clash. We know how consistent Animo is, and that's what gives him his big chance for mine. But, yeah, look, I would have Dubai Honor favourite at this stage, guys. I think that was a much stronger performance on Saturday.
What did you make of Shinzo winning the Golden Slipper?
Yeah, it was a terrific performance, Loz. A horse that clearly just reacted to that back up on the weekend. He found another couple of lengths, which these two-year-olds can do. And, you know, Chris Waller claims his first Golden Slipper, and Ryan Moore produces a cracking ride to get him home. He had the beautiful run midfield, trailing the favourite, and was just a bit too strong for him late. I thought Cylinder was outstanding. I thought King's Gambit and Don Corleone both ran really well too. So a quality Golden Slipper, no doubt about that. And Shinzo looks like a horse that'll train on at three.
And Mr. Brightside took out the All-Star Mile at Moonee Valley.
Yeah, he's just been getting back in slowly run races, and he finally got a race where they rolled along there on the weekend. He was able to sit back off that. He loves the valley, he loves a mile, and he'd been prepping up beautifully for it and was too strong over the concluding stages. I heard a lot of people say, you know, Keith shouldn't have been in the race and all this nonsense, but it's a race, you know. You have horses in races that are long odds in every race around the country every day. You know, it sounds like these sort of people just want a match race between two horses and want them to run in lanes. Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of that. But not too good, Mr. Brightside. He was the better horse on the day, and I always love races where there's a genuine tempo.
Dave, we've seen some horrible falls in Melbourne lately. I was interested to hear Benny Mellum's comment or opinion about fatigue playing a part in race falls. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think it's a major issue, whether it's at the heart of the recent falls or not. It's always hard to tell. Obviously, you know, jockeys have been going for gaps and things like that when the stakes are up for grabs, that the pressure's there, and there's always we're always looking for that. Every jockey's looking to ride very competitively. But I think it is a major issue in the sport. You know, we've got trainers, jockeys, track work riders, track staff, they're all getting up at 3 a.m. and sometimes riding at night, you know, and there's just very little holidays, very little break. We don't have a racing off-season or anything like that. And I think we definitely need to do more, because fatigue, you know, you think that those working those sort of hours, a lot of them doing it 6 days a week, you just have to become fatigued. And, you know, we talk about fatigue on the road when you're driving. It's got to have an impact as well when you're riding in races. So for me, the racing officials need to do a lot more, and I think it's an issue that we've pushed back and just sort of put in the back of everyone's mind rather than actually dealing with it properly. And I think it's something that we need to definitely listen to the jockeys on.
Who are you following out of the weekend?
Look, I think Dubai Honor, guys, the horse to follow. I really think he's going to be hard to beat in the Queen Elizabeth in 3 weeks. I know Animo finds a way to win, but gee, he's going to have to find find again there in 3 weeks' time. That performance on the weekend was one of the better performances I've seen since we go back to the Winks days. So yeah, he looks very, very good, and I think he'll be starting a favourite come Queen Elizabeth on.
Have a great day, mate.
You too, guys. Cheers.